Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
What is up, fantasy football people? We are live here with the PAT Fantasy Football Podcast after a fairly slow month of NFL news outside of rumors, speculation, and predictions of where everyone's gonna land. Andrew Mackins is joining me today. I'm your host, Sam Hoppin, and our producer, Ryan Garner, here is well. How you doing today, Andrew?
I'm good, now that I'm done with work and I'm here recording a fantasy football podcast.
Booyah!
Booyah! They still say that on ESPN?
Probably not. Rest in peace, Stuart Scott, yeah. One of the best sportscasters out there. But yeah, it's a good day. We're finally hitting some spring weather here in Chicago.
Yeah, because it's pouring outside.
Letting the thighs out and getting a little grilling on this past weekend too. How was your weekend?
It was fine. I just chilled. I watched a couple movies. If you've heard of Okja on Netflix, it's the guy who directed Parasite also did this movie for Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I heard that guy drank a lot of beers.
Yeah, I watched that after I drank a lot of beers. It's kind of like a weird watch. I watched Annihilation, too, which is a good movie. Would recommend a little bit of a sci-fi action. But I am happy to be talking fantasy now. Last week was actually the first week where I was like staring at my dynasty rosters and figuring out how can I move up in this rookie draft.
Yeah, I think we've now had a solid month and a half of rest after the football season has officially ended. We've taken a break from actual fantasy football roster management, but things will be changing quite a bit in the coming weeks, especially starting next week. So we're going to start off with our kickoff question, talking about some free agent landing spots. We'll go into a couple of ADP versus ECR discrepancies and then finish up with some coaching changes. So obviously had a number of changes in the head coaching landscape this off season and want to just sort of recap what the implications of each of those are. But as I mentioned,
and this game is underway.
Our kickoff question today circles around free agency because that is coming up next week. It officially starts March 18th, but for all intents and purposes, it starts the 16th when the legal tampering period begins. But today's kickoff question, and I'll pose it to you first, Andrew, is what are your top free agent landing spots for this season?
So when I hear top three free agent landing spots, I just thought of what ones have been swirling around in my head the most. I don't know if they're actually the best situations, but they're ones where I would, end up wanting to target that player down the road. I think that Tampa Bay could really use a running back. I think, the football, fantasy football cognoscenti has been talking about this for a very long time, and I would love to see Melvin Gordon go there as a dual threat.
That's interesting because I actually had Melvin Gordon as one of my top free agents, but I had him going to the Texans. I think just the fact that Bill O'Brien has given the lead back in that offense a majority of the carries. Now, obviously, it sucks that Duke Johnson there because he's an elite pass-catching option, but I really think that offense could use a solid running back. They already have a decent number of weapons in the passing game with Hopkins and hopefully a healthy Will Fuller. But do you care to make a beer bet based on Melvin Gordon's location?
This is tough because I can totally see the Bucs just sticking with Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber because it blew my mind last year when I saw that Peyton Barber is actually only 25 years old right now and Ronald Jones is like 22, maybe 23. So they have a lot of youth there. They could just roll with that and fix other spots like offensive line in the draft. But they do have that 14th pick. It'd be cool to see them draft someone if they don't sign like a Melvin Gordon. But you know what? I want to see Melvin Gordon in this Bruce Arians offense, so I will bet that Melvin Gordon goes to Tampa.
And I say that Melvin Gordon goes to the Houston Texans.
If he doesn't go to either of those, I get both the beers.
That's not how this works, but I...
Or you want to throw something in?
Let me think.
Just pick a team.
Pick a team, any team.
Let me think. I'll get back to you.
I hear the Cowboys are in the market for a new running back. But real quick, I'll touch on one of my top free agents, and that's because it's, again, with the Bucs, and it's Jameis Winston just going back there. It's a cop-out answer, but I don't really care. Like, the value of all of the players on that team drastically changes if someone other than Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback for that offense, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers. Like, any of those guys drastically changes how you're valuing Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
So I just want some consistency with the Tampa Bay Bucks because those pass catchers have been so great over the past couple of years.
Yeah,
I agree. I got my team.
Okay.
I'll go Dolphins. They need...
If Melvin Gordon goes to the Dolphins, then we both owe him a beer. It's like a triangle.
Yeah.
So whoever gets it right gets two beers now. If no one gets it right, then it's just a wash. We'll all buy each other a beer. All right, so I've got another spot, and I feel like we've been talking about this for years too. Aaron Rodgers needs another weapon in Green Bay, and I actually just got an NFL notification about a second wide receiver, the potential of one going there. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be Amari Cooper or AJ Green, sadly. Those would be like the elite guys you'd love to get across Devontae Adams, but I think anyone who's shown a flash could fit in this offense, or Rodgers could give him the ball. So I've been thinking earlier today, DeMarcus Robinson, maybe if Randall Cobb wants to come back for a reunion, that'd be interesting because of that familiarity. But someone who can just be a step better than the guys who were there last year. Like, the rookies still haven't fully developed yet. And Geronimo Allison, we thought he was going to fill that role, but he just hasn't shown it. So I'd love to see a new wide receiver there.
It's interesting you mentioned those two names. I never really thought of DeMarcus Robinson, really, even though he is a free agent. I think Robbie Anderson is the one name that's been linked to the Packers just naturally because he does have that down-the-field threat. Not to say that Adams doesn't, but Adams is very much a great possession receiver. Works well off those slant routes, stuff like that. I'd be surprised if Cobb came back. I wouldn't be surprised if he just stayed with the Cowboys now that Mike McCarthy is there. But one guy that I actually think would be great for the Packers is Austin Hooper, the tight end going there. And it's more so, it's funny, it's part of it's, from a fantasy perspective, I want him to go there because then everyone else is going to pay up way too high for Austin Hooper. And I'm not going to want Austin Hooper really wherever he goes unless he, again, stays with Atlanta. The Falcons. But I also think that adding Hooper or, again, whatever second passing option they bring in will help Rodgers' value. And maybe I can still get him in the 8th, 9th, 10th round like he's been going this past, you know, the past couple weeks with these very early mock drafts. So I just think, again, Rodgers showed an elite ceiling last year, but his floor could be raised with another option or two.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, and we can dive deeper into that when we talk tight ends later in the season. But you mentioned mock drafts, so let's transition into one of the articles you wrote for Fantasy Pros that focuses on comparing ECR and ADP.
So for those of you who are newer to fantasy football, one, we welcome you and glad you are tuning in with us. But ADP is average draft position. So I took this data from MFL, which is myfantasyleague.com, and ECR stands for expert consensus ranking. So this was done for 12-team half PPR leagues and basically just compared some of the biggest discrepancies between what the ADP is and the ECR for players within a specific position. So starting off with quarterback, a couple of guys that could be considered post-hype sleepers, if you will, are Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz, who are both undervalued by ECR. They were both top six quarterbacks by ADP last year. Obviously, Baker Mayfield and the Browns had pretty much everything go wrong for them.
Big surprise. And
Wentz just did not perform quite as well. I mean, all of his receiving core got injured, so he was sort of left with only a couple pieces like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert to throw the ball to. So he clearly did not have as good of a season as he could have. So those guys are two that, again, I think right now, if I'm going into a season, I'm typically not like going to draft two quarterbacks, but if I'm in a league that every manager does that, then I might take a shot on one of these two guys as my second quarterback, knowing that they have a ton of upside.
Would you draft both of them?
I would consider it because
late round guys.
They're both late round. They're both gonna be later round guys.
ADP at right now? Around?
I didn't look at their overall ADP. I just looked at their ADP like within quarterbacks. So
oh, sure.
What their quarterback ADP ranking is, I guess. But I have to imagine it's double digit rounds for both of them.
Yeah, they were both single digit round guys last year. And quick note on ADP for, you know, those who are newer to following fantasy this much. Yes, people are doing mock drafts right now, but that also means that a lot of these things could change a lot throughout the offseason. So that's something to keep in mind. But where things sit right now, I would love if Baker and Wentz both sat there in the double-digit rounds. I think they'd be good people to take a stab at because we've seen the potential for sure. I think what will be tough with Baker is really this, and we're going to talk about it later in the episode too, Kevin Stefanski coming in, who has been an offensive coordinator for run-heavy offenses. I think this could cap Baker's ceiling in this new offense, a la like a Kirk Cousins, who I think is a good quarterback, like a serviceable franchise quarterback, but he's only like top 10, top 12-ish for fantasy.
So Kirk Cousins last year was actually QB 15 on the year, which isn't spectacular by any means, but currently Baker is quarterback 19 on ECR, and he's got an even lower ADP. So, I think it's pretty easy for him to outscore that very, very low bar.
Oh, sure, but you have to, like, pick, then you're, if he's going to end up, like, the quarterback 15 or 12, like, hopefully you're hoping for a ceiling higher than that when you're shooting for darts. So, same thing goes with Wentz. You know, he has, since that near MVP-level season, either he himself or the team has had a lot of injuries, and it's made me start to think, like, will we actually ever see his ceiling or performance again? The offense has struggled to score as much as it did in 2016. So I think he's still a consistent option, especially in like a super flex or a 2QB league. But again, if it's the double digit rounds, like I'd be happy to do that. But is his value going to increase once more wide receivers are added to this roster?
It very well could. But why don't we move on to a running back, which is Chris Carson. ECR really loves him at 13th overall amongst running backs, ADP seems to hate him at 26th amongst running backs, and I tend to lean with ADP. We actually talked about Chris Carson a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember if it was our last episode or the episode before that, but it's the same sort of thing, so I'll keep it short. It's expecting the defense to regress a little bit and them likely having to pass the ball more, but them also not being as efficient. He's coming off of an injury, so I don't necessarily trust that. But is there anything else that you would add regarding Chris Carson?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, and part of this is injury-based as well, but the fact that Rashad Penny hasn't just stolen the opportunity away from Carson yet, I think is the reason why the experts or the ECR ranking is higher. And ADP, like you said, injury concerns are why people are probably staying away from him. But, you know, if he's healthy, he has like top five, top seven upside. So I think that's why you see him a lot higher in traditionally run heavy offense. And like we said in that last episode, we don't know that the Seahawks are going to start passing more yet.
Exactly. Now, the two wide receivers that we're going to cover are pretty much exact opposites when it comes to consistency. Well, I guess they're pretty similar because Julio Jones on one end has been consistently fantastic, while Devontae Parker on the other hand has been consistently not fantastic. So both of these players are favored by the experts, and Julio is ranked at wide receiver 5, but is only wide receiver 10 by ADP measures, which I thought was kind of crazy. And then Devontae Parker on the other side, again, also favored by ECR, and it's probably that people just don't believe in the year that he had last year because it was a career year and we've been waiting for it for a dozen years. But what do you think about these two guys right now?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you usually want to go with ECR because they're usually the ones that are always right, but I feel like they've got this right in terms of Julio, but not in terms of Parker. What's the narrative behind why they would be rating this higher than the public drafting them? I think in terms of, you said the experts have Julio higher.
Correct.
Than people drafting?
Correct.
Okay, so the experts know that he is still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Exactly.
I don't know why the people drafting would be underrating him other than there's just a hype on younger wide receivers and they think they're trying to predict this transition of Calvin Ridley to become the number one over Julio, but I think that's going to be really hard to do with the type of receiver Julio is. In terms of Devontae Parker, I think that you should completely stay away from him. I think that, because you said the experts have him higher as well?
Correct.
So the drafters have this right in that he only had an 8-game stretch where another wide receiver was injured, Preston Williams, in his rookie season. And I don't think that this 8-game stretch of him being amazing makes up for all these past years of you drafting him on your team and hoping that he's going to break out and then it never happening.
So the last thing I'll say to wrap this up regarding Parker, and then we'll move into the coaching changes, is if you look at his splits as far as market share between when Preston Williams was on the field and when Preston Williams was not, the difference is not that drastic. It's a matter of percentage points. So in that regard, like it's not that big of a change whether Preston Williams is back healthy, and that's even a question mark. I think it certainly helps Parker that Fitzpatrick is going to be back with the Dolphins now.
Well, for how long?
Right, and that's the caveat, is he could start for 6, 7, 8 games, and then if they draft Tua, then he steps in week 9, and that could drastically change everything. But
and Parker himself has dealt with injuries in the past too, correct? So it's in previous seasons, he's had trouble staying on the field, I believe, which makes it harder to trust him.
Speaking of guys that are hard to trust and got left off the field, we had a number of coaching changes that happened this offseason. And we're just going to run through those quickly, add our quick initial thoughts on how we think these will impact the fantasy football landscape, and then get into a couple more specific questions. So Ron Rivera was the coach in Carolina, but is now heading up the Washington Redskins. And as far as the guy replacing him in Carolina, it's Matt Rhule, who came from Baylor and brought in Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator, who came from LSU. So there is a lot of hype around them and that offense. As you mentioned, Kevin Stefanski is in at head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, the Freddie Kitchens experiment did not go well. It must have been like they didn't have the right ingredients, I guess. Mike McCarthy is back into coaching in Dallas. Again, like we mentioned earlier, I think one of the big things here is that Kellen Moore will be the offensive coordinator once again. And speaking of connections to Dallas, Jason Garrett is the new offensive coordinator under Joe Judge in New York Giants. The New York Football Giants.
It's like hard to remember looking at this list where Joe Judge came from. But he was the special teams coordinator for New England, right?
He was.
Well, you know, they have a winning tradition in New England. So, Joe Judge, welcome to New York. You're winning a Super Bowl next year.
Good one. You want to place a beer on that?
No, thank you. I'm good.
So, all right. So, obviously, those are the head coaching changes. We can, you know, go into some offensive coordinator changes if we have time. But what are your sort of big takeaways and initial thoughts on all these changes swirling throughout the head coaching landscape?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of research to be done on the correlation between a new coach coming in and instant success for that offense. Of course, there's a multitude of factors that factor into success, but you can look at, because you could look at, you know, Sean McVay coming into the Rams and completely turning the franchise around. You could also look at Adam Gase coming to the New York Jets and Sam Darnold getting mono. So the spectrum is definitely, you know, wide in terms of the range of outcomes. Just going off a gut, I think Rivera joining the Redskins and Judge joining the Giants is kind of like a non-starter for me. I think the sexiest changes are those other three. You know, Matt Rhule bringing in Joe Brady from LSU, I think that could be good for the passing game in Carolina. But again, this is early in the offseason. We don't know whether the tank is on in Carolina yet, so that could make things really difficult.
The big thing with Matt Rhule's contract is it was a 7-year contract. Now, he could very well be out in 2 years, but it seems like David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, is sort of in it for the long haul. I think he sees this roster that lost the leader of their defense in Luke Kuechly, potentially could be losing Cam Newton, depending on how they end up handling that situation. And there are a number of holes that this team has in general. So it could very well be a season in which they're not necessarily tanking, but they're not focused on winning right now. Like, I don't think it will be quite as obvious as what the Dolphins were doing of, like,
yeah,
literally trading every single person away. That said, there have been rumors that every player is on the table and up for trade.
Yeah, even McCaffrey.
Even like Christian McCaffrey, which would be crazy.
But it, from a money situation, like, it makes sense if you're trying to build up the entire team. Like, the getting rid of the running back and gaining multiple assets could be a really good thing for the offense.
One side note, one speculative thing I did hear is, like, what if Christian McCaffrey sits out this year?
Oh, yeah, I heard that, too.
And, like,
so the tank is really on.
They sort of tank, and he comes back next year with a full year off after getting 400 touches this past year. And
but they'd still have to pay him, right?
They'd still have to pay him next year. Not this year. If he doesn't show up this year, they wouldn't have to pay him.
Right, but I just, from an overall team construct, I'm thinking, like, I think that Cam's going to stay there for at least the beginning part of this 7-year coaching deal.
All right.
And they could be good, but the waters are murky there. I think that the running game in Cleveland has a more clear picture with Kevin Stefanski there. Mentioned that before. And I actually hoping, like, that Dak and Amari both stay in Dallas, and when we were talking about free agent places, for Mike McCarthy and that passing offense. We know from McCarthy being in Green Bay that, you know, he could really, in the successful years, Rodgers was MVP level, and he was supporting multiple wide receivers on that offense, so I could totally see the Cowboys becoming this, you know, three-headed monster of, like, Dak supporting both Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper, and it being very lucrative for fantasy football. So that I am probably the most excited for out of these five, despite my general hate for the Cowboys.
Going back to the running game in Cleveland, it will be very interesting to see what they do with Kareem Hunt, whether they bring him back or not, because Kareem Hunt did play a pretty decent role in the passing game itself, and Nick Chubb was still getting his from a carries per game perspective, but I'm wondering if the hype with Kevin Stefanski, what Dalvin Cook did last year, and knowing that they ran the ball so much will drive Chubb's price up more than it should be. I don't think he'll crack sort of like the top three with McCaffrey, Zeke, and Saquon, but I could very well see him going fourth overall, especially if Kareem Hunt isn't there. And it'll just be interesting to see, again, how they handle that backfield situation. Because he was getting a decent, not a major Christian McCaffrey-level target share, but Chubb was getting some targets in the passing game before Hunt returned from suspension.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, they want to keep Hunt because that is talented player right on your roster that can play a role, even if it's not, you know, conducive to fantasy. But I think if they were both there, and if he's got a offensive game plan that is, you know, similar to what Kyle Shanahan's done in the past or what Sean Payton's done in the past with the Saints, the upside for this Browns offense could be two, like, running back ones or two top 15 running backs from a fantasy perspective.
So a couple weeks ago, our friend Nate Hamilton on Twitter, Dominate, posed the question of where do you want to see Kareem Hunt sign? And I said the Browns because, yes, like, there are places like the Texans or the Buccaneers where he theoretically could be the, like, premier running back and has shown in his time at Kansas City that he can handle that workload and does handle it well. But I thought he had a good complementary role, and we told people last year, like, don't draft Kareem Hunt because you're missing him for 8 games. If Kareem Hunt's still on the Browns, I'd take a shot on him in the 6th round, knowing that he's got that potential pass-catching ability, and if something happened to Chubb, like, he automatically turns into an RB1 in that situation. But why don't we wrap this episode up with, again, through the lens of coaching changes, just a couple of questions and more pointed towards the fantasy football impact. But we'll start off with, which of these changes impacts a player's prospects the most in a positive way?
Again, I know we talked a lot about this just now, but I think Nick Chubb, that guy is at the top of my running back rankings right now, and I think Stefanski, it's low hanging fruit, right? Him coming from the offense that had Dalvin Cook, that had helped him with his breakout season, I think that's only going to help Nick Chubb. There's no way it's going to hurt him, and so I think that's the most positive impact you could have because it's the closest thing to just continuity in the offense.
Yeah, that's certainly a good answer. My I'm going to actually go with Mike McCarthy. Obviously you and most of my followers have seen I've been dabbling a little bit more in the analytics community, and he spent this last year reportedly diving more into the analytics of football itself. So I think it will be better sort of continuity for the Cowboys, and I don't really expect McCarthy to take them to a whole new level. I think, you know, what you were talking about before, like, Rodgers was kind of carrying that team. Like, I don't think McCarthy was doing anything special, but I don't think it's going to be like going from Jason Garrett to, I'm trying to think of like a really shitty coach, Adam Gase. It's not like going
Freddie
from
Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens, right? I just think he knows how to handle some of these veteran quarterbacks. And yeah, this is all assuming these free agents are back and with the team. But I think from a holistic team perspective, it'll be the best for Mike McCarthy to sort of continue that. The one question mark I have is how will he handle Ezekiel Elliott? Mm-hmm. Knowing that when in his last year with Green Bay, he refused to make Aaron Jones the workload. Now, maybe that's different because Zeke's sort of been that way for the past couple of years, but that will be an interesting question heading into the year. So on the flip side, which of these coaching changes impacts a player's prospects the most in a negative way? And I'll start here. And you said earlier that Ron Rivera is sort of a, you know, just not...
He's a defensive coach. He's a defensive-minded coach.
He's a defensive-minded coach. Like, it'll be, I think this is one of the situations, again, there's been a lot of talk about, well, are the Redskins going to take Tua at number 2 overall instead of going with Chase Young? Like, if that happens, then I
should definitely... Shit show central.
Yes, like, then it's a shit show. Like, I don't really trust any of these weapons. Like, Terry McLaurin definitely goes down in my board. Like, Darius Geis, it was already low on my board to begin with because of the injury history and stuff like that. But this is one of those situations where they drafted a guy last year in Dwayne Haskins. It's not the coach's guy. And there's a lot of reasons for them to draft Tua and sort of start this whole process over. So I think it's bad for the Redskins as a whole.
I think that'd be pretty crazy because I've seen some stuff about like the analytics of drafting Chase Young just gets you the most value as an overall team, especially with Rivera being a defensive guy. Also, I feel like anytime you talk about Darius Geis's injury history, that he either like feels a twinge in his ankle or his like injury, his like Twitter sensors go off and he's just like, I've only been injured twice. Ah.
I
don't know what to think about him either.
Speaking of Twitter sensors going off, I did see a couple people tweeting at him the other day and he was giving out quite a bit of likes. So if you want an easy like from a player, maybe just praise and say you're excited to see Darius Geis this upcoming season. But did you have anyone else that you think is going to negatively impact their team drastically?
I mean, I'm looking at this combo, this thrilling combo of Joe Judge and Jason Garrett, and I could get the sense that maybe Garrett would be good for Saquon Barkley because of running the football more. Like, it was good for Zeke when Garrett was there, which means it would be really bad for anyone in the passing offense, like or Daniel Jones, the wide receivers there. Maybe it'd be good for Evan Engram. Jason Witten somehow had a resurgence in Dallas last year, but other than that, nothing that I'm ready to plant my flag on.
Yeah, I basically don't trust the Giants because, well, David Gettleman is running that team. But the last question is, which of these coaches do you think has the widest range of outcomes for his team? And I have an inkling that we might be on the same wavelength.
Mine has just got to be a tie between the Giants and Carolina because they're starting from like the bottom and things could actually get worse for both of these teams. And we talked about the potential tank in Carolina, which means things could get worse from there. But yeah, New York Giants could be a shit show as well.
My answer was going to be Matt Rhule as well. I think they're, again, with the college coach coming to the NFL, there's going to be a lot of hype around this team. Like some of the, like DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, like Ian Thomas has shown some promise in some limited sample size. I think, you know, there could be a bit of a Cliff Kingsbury-like effect where everyone sort of expects this offense to go gangbusters and just totally disrupt the NFL. Mm-hmm. But admittedly, a lot of this is driven by who's under center and who's going to be throwing these guys the ball. Because
yeah. If
it is Cam, that's great. Like, I think it's all systems go for the Carolina Panthers and their weapons. If it's anyone but Cam, unless they somewhat crazily make a move in the free agent landscape, then I don't know if I'm trusting. I mean,
yeah.
McCaffrey aside, I don't know if I'm trusting these guys.
I'm actually going to go with you there and take Giants out of this scenario. I think the worst possible narrative out of all these coaching changes is that even without a like concerted effort to tank by Carolina, that it just goes to total shit. And like you said, all these players that we're hoping will continue to produce end up being like not delivering value on their draft position at all.
The one thing I will say to tie a bow on this is, and this is very, very far looking, and we are typically a redraft league, but the one thought that entered my mind is keep an eye on these Panthers players from a dynasty perspective, because if it does go the way of, you know, sort of tanking and not having as successful of a year, I mentioned that it's a 7-year contract. Like, I think this could very well be a down year, and a year from now we could be talking about some of these Panthers players as buy low candidates.
Mm-hmm.
From a dynasty perspective. So, you know, maybe week 10 or 11, you're out of it in your dynasty league and you're looking for a bit of upside for the future. Keep these guys in mind. So you should also keep us in mind as you're rolling through this offseason. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to recap free agency and look forward to the NFL draft, assuming the coronavirus has not totally wiped that out. But for Andrew Mackins, at Andrew Mackins, for Ryan Garner, at Garther. I am Sam Hoppin, at Sam Hoppin. We'll talk to you later. The kick is good.